Welcome to the AMAT CIC on March 17th, 2022, St. Patrick's Day. The rest of the team here is from AMATS, myself, Heather, Dave, and Daryl. I think you've met us all at one point or another. Yes. The two things we were going to talk about today were Dave actually had a presentation about traffic crashes, and then we were just going to kind of say, go over the comments that we got in our public participation plan. And then we were going to open up to regular discussion. So I still think, you know, Dave could kind of do a high level, like buzz through the safety stuff, because there's a lot of interesting bike and ped that you might find interesting if you're so amenable to that. Sure. But then I don't know, I'm kind of assuming, or at least, you know, we haven't got on our, I'm just jumped to our public participation plan. We presented it at our last CIC. We presented it to our TAC and to our policy committees. And we only got a couple of minor edit comments back. And so that was really all I was going to say about that. So, but I guess maybe, or I guess if there's anything specific you wanted to ask, if you want to do that, you know, at first or at the end, or, you know, did you have any specific concerns you wanted to talk about?
No specific concerns. Just had a couple of questions.
Okay.
One is about the Veterans Trail, the name Veterans Trail.
Yeah.
Any of you happen to know where that name came from?
So my recollection of this was actually, and this is how I remember it, but I don't know if it's true or not. Which I know that doesn't make much sense, but so when we were building, when we started with, say, like the Freedom Trail and the, you know, in the towpath, there was a planner up, the planning director, his name was Dave Whited for Metro Parks. And early on, and this is probably over a decade ago, we had kind of talked about, you know, he was this big guy, and he wasn't a big guy, but he was a big believer in branding. And so he would say, I think the best way to build a trail is like you pick a name and you go with it. You know, so he said with a Freedom Trail, it's like, who wants to, you know, kind of that marketing, who wants to argue with freedom? And for some reason, I swear it was him that said, you know, like, well, we should call this one Veterans Trail. You know, like that's honestly, and I don't know if it stuck from that or if there were other, you know, elements of where that came from. But I like specifically have this memory of talking to him, and it was like the idea of branding it, giving it a name, and doing something that would be almost like the thing that like nobody can argue with, you know, like the veteran, like who wouldn't want to build a veterans trail or a memorial trail or a, you know, and so it, that's how I remember it going down. But like, that's just, you know, had it been sitting for 5 years or something or 10 years and having him think about that, I don't know. And I think part of it too is like with the Veterans Way in Hudson, the cut through street already being named Veterans Way and the rail line kind of being right, you know, right along there. I don't know if that was also like, I think it was very easy for Hudson to pick up on that naming convention.
Right, right.
That's where they wanted to go. So.
Okay. Yeah. Actually, Bill Steepy sent out an email today to, Brad Costco, the city planner and
city engineer.
City engineer in Hudson, trying to find if there was a connection there. So I think they're going to dig through some of their trail plan documents in the city of Hudson.
Yeah.
To see when that, the earliest AMATS document I saw with that name was the Transportation Outlook 2035 plan.
Okay.
Which I think came out in 2013.
Yeah.
I wasn't able to find any documents earlier than that.
And do we even have our earlier plan that would have been from 2009? Is that on our website?
I wasn't able to find it, but I was just doing quick searches, so I didn't really dig into
it. It might be, but that's kind of that's a good question. I'd be curious if we had it in 09 or not.
Okay.
09, I'd be doubtful that we would, but for sure we didn't have it before 09. You know, like there's a chance it's in there for 09.
Okay. If you have that plan and you're able to share it,
absolutely.
I'd be glad to dig through that for you.
yeah, absolutely. Heather, do you know if that's on there?
So I know for a fact that the old transportation outlooks are not on our website. They're huge. They take up too much space. So we try to keep just the current one on there. But I'm making a note to make sure we get it to you somehow, Austin. I'm not quite sure we'll be able to email it, though. We'll have to figure something else out.
Okay. That sounds great.
Okay.
Yeah, and I know the original trail study from 2005 didn't seem to have any reference to the Veterans Trail in it.
So. Right. Yeah. It definitely, the way I remember it, and I don't, maybe this will be proved out, but you know, the way I remember it is just that it was like, you know, Metro Parks at the time, who was a big supporter, you know, was looking at those, was like, we need to give it a name. Let's give it a, you know, and that sort of, you know, which I guess is not probably a great tale to tell, you know, but that's how I remember it.
Okay. So yeah, that was my first question. My second one was about Bike and Brainstorm events. Daryl, are you interested in doing some of those this year?
Absolutely. Sure. Absolutely. We're going to piggyback off of, the Cuyahoga Falls, first nights like we did before down there.
Yeah, I was thinking either that or one of their big weekend-long festivals like the Irish Festival or Italian Festival, something like that.
Sure.
And I was hoping to do it after the Mudbrook Trail opens for that section that's under construction. So I need to find out when that will be open to the public. But it would be great to ride on that brand new trail.
Absolutely. Yeah, that'd be perfect.
Okay.
And, great idea.
Another idea I had for a Bike and Brainstorm event, I actually joined Torchbearers this year.
Okay.
And we're doing a lot of work in the, specifically this year in the Kenmore and Summit Lake areas. And I was thinking maybe trying to do one down there. I know they've got great bike lanes along Kenmore Boulevard and the towpath trails there, right along Summit Lake. So, how would you guys feel about doing one over there too?
Yeah, that'd be great. And I'll tie in, you know, the Kenmore Neighborhood Association and Tina's Boys, and you know, I'm sure they would be, happy to.
Yeah, I think we're working pretty closely with Tina. I haven't met her yet, but I think we're tied in with her. So
yeah, she's great. She's a good go-getter. She'll be happy to help or assist us, whatever, or even. Be part of that. So the day of,
yeah. You can ride on the Kenmore Road Diet.
That's right.
So yeah, and we were thinking maybe trying to line it up with one of the Kenmore First Friday events. They do that.
Yes, and we have done that before, so it'll be perfect. That'll be perfect. Great idea. That way there's people down there, and we'll just get it marketed. So that people, you know, can bring bikes, and we'll try to get bike shares, and, you know, before they settle in for a beer, maybe they'll go and take a ride with us. That'd be perfect.
Okay. So should I guess maybe I'll send you an email offline and we'll work it out that way.
Yeah. Right. Or vice versa. I was going to say, let's just get some ideas flowing and get that going. So.
Okay.
Great idea. Great.
Yeah, that's awesome. We love to have those events, and it's exciting that we're getting close to being able to do them again.
Yeah. We have a nice preview of the weather today.
So yeah, exactly.
Right.
It's been on my mind.
Could have had one today.
That's really all the questions I had.
Okay, great. Great, yeah, and we'll dig in on that, the trail history stuff, and see if maybe there's, you know, because we also have old just bike plans that we would do as, you know, companions, maybe they're in there. They're probably, I doubt those are still on the website, the ones that we might've done over, you know, almost 15 years ago or something like that. Cause we probably did a bike plan in 07 or 08, and maybe we could find that too.
Okay.
So
that sounds great.
Cool. Well, Dave, I guess, Austin, if you've still got time and you want to hear a little bit about safety and stuff, Dave, do you want to give a brief presentation with the stuff that we presented to our committees today?
Sure. I'll go ahead and share my screen. Can you guys see that?
Yep.
Okay. Let's see. Let me get it.
Up top on the left there, Dave.
Oh, right there?
Yeah, there. Yeah.
There we go. Okay. Our most recent traffic crash report is for the years 2018-2020. A couple highlights about this crash report is it's using a new approach called the Safe Systems Approach. This is something that the Federal Highway Administration and ODOT direction they decided to go. Safe Systems focuses on fatal and severe injury crashes more than just sheer number of crashes. We'll take a peek at trends, what's happened, some interesting trends. Traffic with the COVID in 2020, traffic has definitely decreased, and how it affected safety. We'll take a look at some high crash sections, intersections. We'll touch on bicycle and pedestrian safety. And then the last two, I don't believe I'll cover tonight because they are more for our members who are kind of deeper into this, into the safety information. So the once again, Safe Systems is a new methodology that shifts from the idea of eliminating all crashes to focusing on eliminating just the fatal and serious injury crashes. Strives for greater transportation balance and strives to serve the need of all road users, not just motorists. And the two big things Safe System acknowledges is that people make mistakes and responsibility is shared. So in 2020, it was an interesting year because with COVID and a lockdown and a lot of people working from home, vehicle miles traveled, thousands of vehicle miles traveled in the AMATS area declined quite a bit. And so did, fortunately, so did overall crashes and even injuries. Decrease some, but unfortunately, the fatalities went up. Actually, fatalities went up quite a bit. We're all still sort of bewildered why this happened, and it's a statewide and a nationwide trend. Nothing unique to our areas. We're speculating that possibly this happened because of less traffic meant people could more easily speed. People maybe felt they could drive more carelessly. And perhaps even with COVID, there might have been more, policemen actually on the roads. So I'm not sure what it did and what happened in 2021, but in 2020, it wasn't a good story for fatalities. To be a high crash location, roadway sections have to have 3 crashes per mile per year. Minimum of 30% of the crashes had to be injuries and fatalities. For intersections, the minimum of 9 crashes in a 3-year period, and a minimum of, once again, 30% of the crashes had to be injury and fatalities. After we calculated those things, we summed up and calculated a composite score based on how the location ranked on total number of crashes and then how it ranked on percent injury and fatal crashes. So the number one highway section out of, there were 160 that met the minimum criteria. The number one highway section is a piece of state route 59 in Akron, also known as Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. and it's the section between North Main and Broadway, or the one-way street north, which goes across the, turns into the Y Bridge. It was the number one section, and the number one intersection was a location in Portage County, US 224 and State Route 225. Now, this is an odd location, you may think, but actually it's not, because with the new criteria based on fatalities and severity, this is actually a two-way stop. And this is an intersection where there's speed involved. And also, a lot of times the stop sign or people run the stop sign. So when you have a combination of at least one of the legs having a lot of speed, usually the severity of the accidents is worse, and you have more injuries and possible fatalities. Freeways, we don't really analyze freeways. ODOT does those. Our members cannot really even apply for safety funding on a freeway section, but they basically take 1/10 mile sections and just analyze along the route 1/10 of a mile at a time. Bicycle and pedestrian crashes, bike and pedestrian crashes have a high percentage of injuries, 73 and 82% respectively. They're more random and spread out. In our report, maps 3 and 4 show the locations. Many involve younger people, bike riders, pedestrians, drivers just may not sometimes be aware of rules they need to follow. And education is often an effective countermeasure for these types of crashes. Although, according to news reports and media articles, there was actually an increase in bicycling and in pedestrian activity during 2020. But overall, there were actually less bike-related crashes. They dropped from 79 to 57 between 2019 and 2020. So that's definitely good news. It could possibly be from the less traffic, less conflicts. We're not sure, but we hope it continues. This just shows like which months had the most crashes. Obviously the summer months, July and August usually are have the most, because that's just when bicycling is probably most popular. And one interesting trend that I saw is if I take each year and I look at the months for each year, August in 2018 and 2019, August had the most crashes, but for some reason in 2020, August, actually the crashes went down. So like I said, 2020 was just an odd year. A lot of odd things affecting traffic and safety, but I thought that was interesting. Not sure exactly why that happened. Could be, we're just not sure. Pedestrians also trended downward. We speculate possibly in 2020, less kids walking to school. I know most learning was remote, so we had perhaps less kids walking to school, less kids actually out and about after school. So once again, dropped from 156 to 103. And we also hope that that trend continues. This shows the month of the year that pedestrian crashes happen most often. If ever since I've been doing safety analyses, October has always been the month with the most pedestrian incidents. I speculate that it's weather's nice yet, but there's a lack of light. The light days are shorter, and darkness might play into this. Once again, if I took each month and plotted them, or each year and plotted them by month, October is always has the most incidents, but in 2020, it didn't. So once again, it probably had something to do with school, but we're just not sure. But it was just, I thought, an interesting observation. And then this shows the time of day when they happened. There's always a spike between 7 and 8, possibly people walking to work or to school. And then, of course, in the afternoons, pedestrians are much more active and you have more incidents in the afternoons. So that's pretty much it. Found some interesting trends. I'm real anxious to see what 2021 shows, if those trends continue or if they gradually go back to what they were. I kind of speculate they will once we kind of get our activity levels back to normal, but we'll just have to wait and see.
When will you get the 2021 numbers?
I could actually, I think they're pretty much, I could pretty much go and look at those now. I feel pretty confident that most of the data is in our database where we get it from.
Okay.
So I can start looking at that stuff, but obviously we do a lot of work with, checking the crashes. So I can do like quick checks, but we'll actually start going through it, sifting through it. And we look a lot at to make sure the locations are correct and such. But okay. It's already out there, and I'm real anxious to see what it's showing.
Are you aware of any studies going on to, I guess, look into exactly why, some of those interesting trends that in 2020 that went against what was typical for previous years? Within the AMATS region, but nationally? Or
I am sure that there's probably studies out there. I just have to find them. I'm sure there's, I especially with school safety, I wouldn't be surprised if maybe AAA is doing some studies, but I'm sure there's some out there. I just have to find them.
Okay.
But if I do,
thank you for sharing. That's
really you're welcome.
Interesting data.
If I do, and then sometimes I attend workshops, webinars, whatever, that talk about safety. And if I ever hear of any reasons or if I run into anything, I'll let you know. But I'm speculating the fact that there were less kids walking to school and more people working from home, just maybe less people out and about, played into it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dave. Austin, I can narrow it down for you. In the 2009 long range plan that was for 2030, it was still called the Akron Secondary. By our bike plan of 2012, it had changed to Veterans Trail.
Okay.
So somewhere between 2009 and 2012, we renamed it.
Okay. And I think I did see that the bike plan 2012 was on the website.
Is it? Okay, good.
I think I saw that on there, but I didn't dig into that one.
Yeah, that one's on there. If you need it, just shoot me an email and I can send it to you because I just found it in our old files. But in the 2009 plan that we did, it still showed it as the Akron recommendation as the Akron Secondary Trail. So, go figure.
Yeah.
But anything else? Any other questions? Thanks for giving us your time tonight. I appreciate it. And
I appreciate it. Still go out and enjoy all of you out of the great outdoors.
So. Yeah. We'll be cursing your name once we hang up.
As soon as I log off. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But all right. Well, hey, thanks a lot. And Dave, thanks for the presentation. And
welcome.
Yeah, our plan is in May to meet in person. So hopefully, we were trying to alternate just to see if it would change, if people were able to attend. So we'll probably continue to do that. But this is definitely, I think, worthwhile. And, it's nice to be able to do it in a half hour. Oh, yeah. Shoot. I'm sorry. I forgot. And just because you're here, thank you, Heather. We did get an email from someone else. You might find this interesting. His name's Danny Durst. He couldn't attend tonight, but he wanted us to share his comments. And so I was, we said that we would read them into the record. So if you can bear with me, Austin, I will read these in the record. His concerns are that, the Ward 1 representative of the city of Akron, Councilwoman Nancy Holland, had a meeting update this past Wednesday with the closing of Memorial Parkway. It was reported that traffic and speeds were dramatically increased along Aqueduct. This seemed like an ideal place for speed tables to be installed for the duration of the construction. I first heard about them in detail reported through AMATS. Then he says there is a lack of protected bike lanes in the city of Akron's attempt to incorporate complete streets designs. This likely applies to more intersections outside of my common traffic pattern, but in particular, the bicycle lane on Exchange Street coming out of downtown onto Maple and the bicycle lane from Merriman coming off Market onto Memorial are used as right turn lanes for cars. I've seen better signs in the city on Exchange coming out of campus towards the hospitals, even though that's sometimes confusing being an inconsistent design. As a simple fix at the conclusion of the study, if necessary, could a curbstone or jersey barrier be placed at the intersection just before the intersection to better delineate? So just really quickly, the speed tables with the city of Akron, I know the locations have already been determined. And one of the issues with Aqueduct was that it was recently repaved. And the speed tables, we have to drill like 500 holes into the ground. And so they didn't want to do it on newer pavement roads. And then, I think we see that all the time, like the bike lanes that aren't protected just tend to be used as turn lanes and, people veer over and it's not preferred. I think as AMATS, we would always prefer there to be buffers. Problem is sometimes that's expensive and sometimes the plastic delineators get hit once and aren't removed and things like that. So, but thank you, Heather, for reminding me about getting that comment on the record. So, and with that, I will conclude the adjourn our AMAT Citizens Involvement Committee. Austin, again, thank you so much for your time. I hope you enjoy the rest of your evening.
Yeah, thank you. You as well. Appreciate all the information.
Thanks, Austin.
Sounds good. All right. Everybody else, I'll see you tomorrow.